Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble, to whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power, no one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is discarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Every once in a while, I remember what it was like before we had cell phones. Specifically, I think of a time in high school when I stayed after school for track practice or some other kind of activity. I had to use a payphone or go to the school office and beg the secretaries to let us use the office phone to call my parents to come and to pick me up. Or sometimes I had an agreed upon time with my parents. Either way, I had to wait. It might be 15 to 20 minutes before they arrived to pick me up. I had absolutely no choice, but I had to wait. One time, I made a mistake, and I complained to my dad, I think, how long I had to wait. That was a mistake that I never made again. And now that I have a cell phone, yeah, there's a certain amount of waiting involved, but boy, everything is pretty instant. Recently, I saw a TV ad from the people who make the Instant Pot, and they now have something called Instant Heat. You don't have to wait for the oven to preheat if you want to make a frozen pizza. The thing totally eliminates waiting. It's fast. And the selling point is obvious. We don't like to wait, and so you can have your frozen pizza just like that. And I don't like waiting. Even if I know what I'm waiting for, I love coffee, especially Starbucks. We now have two in Marion, which is kind of blows my mind. But if I'm driving past one of the Starbucks and the line is too long, I don't stop. Even though I know what I'd be waiting for, it's the idea that I gotta wait maybe 5 minutes before I get my coffee. Waiting is not something that we really are very good at. So every year when we get to Advent, we talk about the fact that it is a time of waiting, a time of eager anticipation. And our challenge when we go into a period like Advent, beyond not wanting to wait, our challenge is that we already kind of think we know what we've already got, what we're waiting for. Jesus already came. And so we kind of get it that people back in the Bible days had to wait. But we really have a hard time connecting the kingdom of heaven and the coming of the kingdom of heaven to our lives today and the whole idea of waiting. Because we've already got Jesus, he already died, he already came alive, he's with the Father today, so we're okay. Even our coming season of Lent has an element of waiting. One of the things that we are often encouraged to do during Lent is to fast, to purposely not eat. Fasting is waiting to eat. Contemplating our mortality and our frailty is an acknowledgement that we are waiting to die. We really don't want to deal with waiting to eat, and we certainly don't want to contemplate the fact that we're going to die. And so even during Lent, we don't like waiting a whole lot. The scripture passage that Tim read for us today, I think, will help us as we think about this thing of waiting, because it changes our focus from waiting to hope. And hope totally changes our focus to God, and then in return, changes our focus to waiting. The problem that we encounter is that we really get consumed by the problems that are in this world. Listen to verse 27 in Isaiah chapter 40. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Isaiah is writing to the people of Israel and to warn them of the continued difficult days that they're going to face. Isaiah was a prophet during the time of a number of kings: King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Three of those guys, Uzziah, Jotham, and Hezekiah, they were good kings, meaning they followed after Yahweh and they did good things that honored Yahweh. But there was still corruption. There was still bad practices in Judah, and Ahaz was one of the bad kings. He became like all the kings of all the nations surrounding Judah. He did not recognize Yahweh, even to the point that he was practicing sacrificing his own children to foreign gods. So he had gotten to that part, that point of just evil sin. The Assyrian Empire was all around them and was building, and they were becoming a threat to the people of Judah and Israel. So there was instability and there was uncertainty. They had turned a deaf ear towards God. They were going through the motions of worship, but their worship did not come from the heart. And I think we can conclude as we think about what that must have been like, that there existed a certain amount of fear of what was coming. They were worrying about the future. And from what we read in this verse that I just read to you, questions about whether God even remembered them. God, do you even remember us? Do you even care for us? Well, every time in the history of the world is a little different. I do think there are similarities to what Judah and Israel were experiencing, to what we're experiencing in our time. There exists uncertainty about our future, and with it, worry. I'm convinced, however, that our greatest problem is fear. We fear everything. We fear who our leaders are and who they will be. We fear the health of our economy. We fear people that we don't know or who are different than us. I spent this past week up in Wisconsin helping my mom with some things, and she lives in a senior living building, and one evening I kept going past these people playing cards, and while they didn't look fearful, eventually one lady turned to me and said, "Who are you?" Because I was just, I was going in a storage closet, and then I got lost and went down the wrong hallway, so I looked like, I guess, a bad guy. We fear losing influence in the world and at home. There are moments when we even fear each other. I think one of the greatest downsides of the pandemic is we began to fear each other because we didn't know whether any of us was carrying the COVID virus. And when we fear, we may not consciously think this, but it seems that the result of that fear is that we begin to think that God has forgotten us, that he doesn't see us at all. This verse not only mentions how our ways are hidden from the Lord, but the verse also talks about that we don't receive justice. One of the things that I have been struck by in the last few years is the realization that we sin against each other, sometimes knowingly and many times unknowingly, but we become the recipients of others' sin. And so injustices are done to us. And again, we can begin to question God, where are you in these situations? A couple of months ago, you may remember this story that there was a young woman in Chicago who was on, I think, the L, and she was set on fire by someone. She was just minding her own business. She loved the city of Chicago. She grew up in Upland and went to Purdue. All of you Purdue fans graduated from Purdue. She was doing nothing to deserve what she received. Do we think that God forgot about her in that moment? And so those are the things that we wrestle with in this world, is wondering whether God even remembers who we are. Verse 28, the very next verse, Isaiah says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary in his understanding. No one can fathom." Isaiah acknowledges this question about where is God and answers with a question and a reminder. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The answer, of course, is they know. They've heard. The everlasting God, the existing one, Yahweh, he created the world. He doesn't grow tired or weary. He knows so much that we can't even begin to fathom what he knows. This kind of reminds me in many ways of the ending of the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." When we doubt that God is paying attention to us, we need to be reminded of who God is. He is the everlasting God. He doesn't have a beginning and he will not have an end. I don't get that. I can't begin to understand that. But I am grateful that he is God and that I'm not. He created the world. He doesn't get tired ever. Now, there's one part of me that feels sad, because when we get tired, we get to sleep. And some of you know that I have retired from full-time teaching, and one of the great joys so far is I take a nap just about every day. And so, yes, I am tired every day during the day, and I need to take a nap. But God doesn't grow weary. He doesn't need to take a nap. He knows what is happening to us in our lives. And so what we ought to be doing, which is what Isaiah is encouraging the people of Judah and Israel to do, is to wait, to hope. Verse 29, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Because of who God is, he gives strength to those who are weary. The root word for strength is to be firm. So we could read this verse, God helps people to stand firm and increase the power of the weak. And you know that when we are weary, we are anything but firm. We feel weak and easily pushed around. But God enables us to stand firm, not to be pushed around by the things that are going on around us. The verse says, Isaiah says, he gives us power not to become super people, to withstand what we are experiencing. One of the things that Isaiah reminds us of is that even young people grow tired. In my years of teaching college-age folk, there was always a point in the semester that the students were so exhausted, I wondered if I was wasting my time. Because they were so blitzed, so out of it. I felt like I was talking to a classroom of zombies. So even youth grow weary and can walk around this planet like a zombie. And here's the key to withstanding our weak condition. Verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We must hope, or literally what hope means is wait on the Lord. And this is the part that we do not like, because it may take a while before God gives us the strength that we need. Waiting, as we've talked about, is not a fun part of our lives. We want to be like Popeye. Remember Popeye? He needed strength. He just had a handy can of spinach nearby, popped it open, and boom! He was strong. That's what we want. Let's not forget that Israel waited at least 400 to 500 years from this point in Isaiah before Jesus was born. Think about that, 400 to 500 years. That's probably about 4 to 5 generations, maybe even 6 generations later, before the promise of the Messiah was realized. And the waiting was all done while they were captive to other nations. They were being oppressed. And by the time Jesus was born, of course, we've got the Roman Empire that was the occupying nation in Israel. Early in chapter 40, Isaiah speaks of the coming Messiah, and we get a lot of great verses that we do quote during Advent. You'll recognize them. Verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Those last two verses get used, especially in the oratorio, the Messiah. So if you've ever heard or had an opportunity to sing in such an incredible work of art, you know those words. The focus of the entire chapter, Isaiah 40, is wait. Wait on the Lord. Jesus, the Messiah, is coming. And likewise, your strength will be renewed. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. You know, one of the coolest things that I've been noticing that has really changed from when I was a kid is we get to see a ton of eagles all along through the Wabash River. It's absolutely incredible. Becky and I were driving to Peru yesterday, and there were two eagles just sitting in a farm field. Phenomenal birds. Phenomenal. Isaiah is saying, you will soar like an eagle. But you got to wait. You got to wait. The hope of our faith is to wait. To wait on the Lord, wait on him for his future kingdom. We must wait on the Lord. There is absolutely no question that this life is difficult, but our waiting is worth it. We are not only waiting for the future kingdom of Jesus, a kingdom that will revolutionize the way this whole world looks. We will have new bodies and a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, listen to these verses once again from Isaiah 40 that ought to be an encouragement to every one of us. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.